The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, in this upcoming episode, we actually talk a little bit about Maps Anywhere.
That's right, Maps White.
That's our equipment-free Maps program based
body
on
weight palooza,
closed chain kinetic movements with our patented amp sessions. It's a 4-week, 30-day body weight only, maybe some bands program.
We didn't actually file for that patent.
You can find it at Mind Pump Media. MindPumpMedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Confession here. I don't read your DMs if they're fucking really long. they sit in my inbox for fucking months. Because, dude, you get so many, right? So a lot of times, yeah, if I see like a good quick question that I can help somebody or answer, I answer them as quick as I possibly can. And then when you get so many, you get to a point where some have to just get left alone. Well, the way I choose normally is the longer they are, the less likely to read them, right?
Isn't that funny? It's just like, get to the point really quick. You know, get to the point. I can't read through all this. I don't have time.
So I just got to this one right here. I don't know how long it's been sitting. Does it say how long it's been sitting in my inbox? No. Are you still enjoying it right now? Yeah. So I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, I don't know what to say
to
that.
Tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Well,
tell everybody.
She's written me one of the longest DMs I've had in a very long time. And it gives me her backstory. But she's basically reaching out to me to reach out to Bachelorette Ben Zorn.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Bachelor Ben Zorn.
What do you mean she's reaching out
she's so funny. That actually happened to me, too.
Wait, what?
Well, yes.
Dude, our boy Ben needs to step his game up,
on
dude.
On Facebook.
Ben listens to the show a lot.
Somebody reached out and
brother,
like,
you gotta step your game up.
Oh, my cousin, you know, do you know Ben? Like, I heard he was on your show. Do you know him, like, personally? Like, can you hook me up with my cousin?
Dude, people are stalkers. You know what they do when they do that,
well,
right?
Well, the funny part in, because she's like, you know, in the letter here. That's what you call that, right? Is it a letter? What do you call it? What do you call a DM? That's
message.
That's not a message. A message is like a Twitter, tweet.
Yeah.
A message. You can't call it a message unless it's as short as a tweet.
Yeah.
If it's longer than a tweet, it now goes into a new category.
It's like a novel.
Yeah.
So the blog.
It's a short story. Yeah. She sent me a short.
So she wrote you a blog. So what happened?
So she has been listening to Mind Pump for over a year. So I don't want to rag on her too much because she's a fan of Mind Pump. So I love you for that. But I do find it kind of funny that she wrote me this letter, and I won't oust her. So I wouldn't you know, throw you under the bus like that. But I have to talk about this because I think it's hilarious. So writes this long old letter telling me, you know, that how long she's been following Mind Pump and this and that. She's got it. She's left us a great review and won a shirt before. And
that's about to change.
And she and so she is
knows.
She's a huge fan of Ben. The way she found us is through Ben Zorn, because she's been following Ben Zorn since The Bachelor, and she's, you know, saw that we're friends and that he's been on the show and she's this and that. And so she's reaching out to me to help her reach out to him, so she doesn't look like one of those crazy girls on his Instagram that all of them that are super fans that, oh Ben, I love you,
have my kids,
marry me, yeah, like, oh, he gets those, right? Like, he posts, and right now, like, I've been teasing him lately right now because he's got his little Rottweiler puppy that he just got, and that's all he posts, and it's just like this little cute shot of him and his dog. He's like the all-American boy that he is a vagina tease.
Am I right?
So I'm just gonna let all you little hot girls know that want to sleep with my boy. He is a vagina tease. Don't get your.
He's a good dude.
Yeah,
love that guy.
You know what that is? So here's what happens. It's like women follow him. They watch him on The Bachelorette. They create this alternate reality where they. And him, if he just met me, I know we'd connect, and we're so similar. And if I could just meet him, he would fall in love with me. I know it because I love him. And like, totally delusional.
Well,
so
Prince Charming syndrome.
And they're so delusional, in fact, that they'll contact someone else through an indirect way to try and get, like, what are you going to do? Send her his phone
number?
I
have a chance.
Yeah, like, you're going to be like, you know what? You said that message you sent me was compelling.
I'm not gonna lie, though.
Do you think a dude would do this? I don't. Is what I'm thinking. Oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, every girl thinks they have a chance. That's what's funny.
She doesn't even know he's a goat fucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even.
What?
Yeah. What? My boy's a goat fucker. Like, you know, whoa, if you know what I'm saying? He fucks goats. What do you mean? What does that mean?
Wait, literally?
Yeah, he's a goat fucker.
Adam.
I can't say
that.
Adam!
He's my boy. I can say whatever I want. He's a goat fucker.
He fucks goats.
Ben?
Of all the animals.
Yeah, come on, Ben.
That's at the top of my list of animals.
Well, I remember the first few times that we would hang out together.
Were you more
and
guy?
I'm so going to put our boy on blast right here. And I remember when we first met, you know, I had a little like man crush. I'm like, he's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah,
he's totally gorgeous when you meet. He's even more gorgeous in person than he is on TV. I'll tell you guys that right now. Like, so you meet
and
him.
He's a good guy in real life.
That doesn't help, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not.
He's a good guy. No, in real life.
Diverting people.
And he's a super great human being.
Yeah, like, he's not a dick or a douche or
no.
Like that.
Well,
yeah.
You could tell. So he was an overweight kid. So you could tell that he was the fat kid who got in shape. And that what's great about that is he's built great character. So he's not like this super hot dude that got on a show and thinks he's a celebrity and walks around all
cocky. So what you want to do if you're looking for someone to date is find someone who looks great but used to look bad. And then you're going to get like
a good
character.
It is a pretty good recipe. It tends to build character. I think
you meet a hot girl and you're like, hey, do you have any pictures from high school? Yeah. And you look at him and be like, oh my God, you were massive for me to date.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody, I think,
thank God.
Anybody that went through some sort of like adversity like that as a child or a young adolescent, I think builds pretty good character.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you see some of these kids that were spoiled. They're good looking. They had all the
their
things,
whole life.
Their whole life. And yeah. I
have a lazy eye.
I actually, you know what I mean? Now as an adult, I feel sorry for those same kids. As a kid, when you're growing up, you don't see it. As a kid, you're growing up, you see that kid and he has everything and you're so jealous. He's smart. He's good looking. He's the best at all the sports. He has tons of money. He has the coolest car at school. And you're envious. But as an adult, I see that and I go, oh, poor kid.
You know what? It's kind of
poor kid because life is going to slap him right in the face.
It reminds me of this. I remember having this conversation with one of these trainers that used to work with me, and she was telling me about this guy that she was dating, and they had been dating for like almost like about a month, and they hadn't had sex yet. And I'm like, what do you mean you guys haven't had sex? She's like, well, we've done other things. And I'm like, you've done other things. She's like, yeah. She's like, oh, he's like
heavy petting.
She goes, he goes down on me.
I was a heavy petter dude for a long time.
No,
I didn't. Yeah. That was my whole junior high career.
But bro, she was in her mid-30s, and so with this guy, so they weren't kids. And she goes, yeah, but oh my God, he goes down on me so crazy, like he's so good. And I looked at her, and I'm like, do you think maybe he's got a small dick? And she goes, oh no.
Oh,
and guess what? He
Come
did.
On. Don't give away. Don't give away the moves.
He did. Yeah. They went to have sex.
That poor,
and he had
poor
a
bastard.
Super, super. Just what she told me. She said, I should have known. You know what I mean? So like you're saying, you meet someone.
You really had to work on that skill.
Super nice. And like Justin said, they probably had a lazy eye or something at one point.
So wait a second. So, how did you go from that to being good at eating vagina?
He goes straight to small dick.
It just reminded me of that. Like really nice guy, used to be fat. Really good at going down, small dick. Wow. It's just one of those.
That's what you just put together from that?
Hmm.
I definitely think that it builds
really
character.
You sharpen up other skills. That's the point of that, right?
A lot of science today. A lot of science today. Doug, why do I sound choppy? I feel choppy right now. You guys choppy?
Chop, chop, chop.
You well, sound good to me.
Unbeknownst to you, we slipped a little magic mushrooms in your coffee.
Mm.
So you're feeling the psychedelics.
That's what that is.
You know, it's
goat fucker.
It's weird, man, that someone would call. It's the equivalent of going to a person and be like, hey, I like your friend. Except way worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you're a kid and you're like, hey, could you go ask out? Sharon?
Oh, I know.
I
really
like her.
Totally.
Except way worse.
Yeah. God, that was the thing back in elementary school. You're like, hey, I like that chick over there. Hey, you want to go? Like, get your friend to tell her that I want to go out. And then that friend comes back. Okay, yeah, you guys are going out. And then, oh, cool. And then you like never talk.
Dude,
we're going out.
Ugh. You know what
I did that a bunch.
You know what you should do, Adam?
Hey, were you? You know,
can you send her? Can you send her?
Of course, I could
send her.
Why don't you text back?
I'm going to send her.
He wants to go around.
Send her Ben's phone number.
He wants to go around.
You know what I'm going to do? Actually, I am.
Send her Ben's phone number.
I'm going to text Ben.
And then
right
be like,
now.
Hey, listen, I think you might have a shot. Listen.
So I'm going to text him right now. Well, she's actually really cute. Yeah. So.
Doesn't mean she's.
There's a chance.
Maybe she's crazy.
You know, maybe Ben's.
Well, there's probably a chance she's crazy too, but. she's really cute, which
we'll have to verify. Maybe like back in the day we thought about like, you know, creating this whole like dating thing.
You know what? I tell you what.
Pre-screening the options for him.
I'm going to take care of you, baby girl. You know what? Because I blasted you on the podcast, I'm going to take 6 screenshots because that's what it's going to take for me to show the entire post you sent me.
Be like, dude.
over.
You got to really build her up to him.
And are you going to send it to Benny?
Yeah. Wait, I don't know. I don't think that's going to help her.
So we're going to have to...
I want to genuinely help her.
Okay.
You know what? Because I put you on blast on the show, I feel entitled... Not entitled. I feel...
Obligated.
Obligated. Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
He's just confusing how he really feels. What he's supposed to feel.
Wrong library.
I know. I was thinking of a different word for that. Obligatory. You know, something.
I'm going to hook you up, dude. Or honey. I'm going to call my boy.
Hook you up, dude.
Actually, you know what?
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
You know what we're going to do? We're actually going to call Ben right now. Let's see if he answers.
Yes,
we're going to do
that's
this.
That's a good
idea. Don't get all mad,
that's,
Sal. That's just hold on.
Good idea.
We'll get to...
You know what I'm mad about?
We'll get to the podcast here. Don't worry.
Oh, wait. No. You have it, Taylor. You have Fred Durst's phone number.
Oh,
that's who we need to call.
We need to call him on one of these podcasts.
That's who we need
to
call.
I think that would be amazing.
You know what you should do? You should hook her up with Fred Durst.
That's exactly it. Yeah,
like, right. Like, you know, Ben's taken.
Hey.
Yeah. We got a second option for you.
Are you on the phone with him?
B, can you hear me? Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, what are you doing right now?
Put him on the actual...
Speakerphone. No, I don't...
Speakerphone.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on speakerphone because the boys want to hear you too.
You're on. Tell him he's on the podcast, dude.
No, hold on. Ben, can you hear me?
We don't tell him that.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So I got you on. I got you on speakerphone so the boys can hear you too. So this is not. I guess we didn't know this till right now that this has happened more than once. Okay, you're on the podcast too, so don't say anything inappropriate. Don't tell people about your goat fucking, by the way.
Whoa.
So okay, that's just between
Adam
us.
Comes in hot.
So I got this. I got an inbox from this gorgeous little girl, and it's like a fucking blog, dude. It's literally, it took me 15 minutes to read it to the boys. And the whole thing is, she's a fan of Mind Pump. She found us when you came on the show way back when.
But your handsomeness stole her from our heart.
Yeah, and she wants me to try and connect, and she's asking for advice from me on how I can help her get to you without her seeming like a creep, because all the women that constantly message you on your Instagram, how does she do that? How does she get to you to let you know that she could, you guys potentially
what do
could,
we do with all these girls? I had one too.
Yeah, he had one too.
Yeah.
What's
what are we supposed to do with all
I don't
want to
give her your cell phone number. I don't think you'd appreciate
we're basically
that.
Pimps.
Yeah. Is there like some kind of waiting list?
I wouldn't
anything?
Do this to you. Like, I wouldn't do this to you if I didn't think she was really cute. She's really cute. So
okay.
It's, do I just screenshot her Instagram and send it over to you, or what's the best way to funnel these things?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, just if you can screenshot her Instagram and have her send it to me, and I can reach out to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah. Wow. See, he's such a good guy.
What's our commission?
Yeah.
I know.
Hey, so you're single right now?
I am currently single, yes.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
Woo!
All right. Well, I'm going to leave you alone, but why don't you come by the studio and say hi this week? We're just kind of chilling this week.
All right, sounds good. I'm going to do that.
All right, brother.
All right, man.
Bye, Ben.
Bye. All right, you guys.
Love you.
He's such a nice guy that he doesn't even get mad.
Yeah, right?
That's so good.
You should have told him. I already sent you your phone number.
she'll be calling
she'll be
later.
Texting you right now.
I'm going to tell her right now that she just got hooked up on the podcast.
You see that? We have love for our pump heads.
Right?
Yeah.
He's such a good guy,
even
Adam.
If they love other
well,
people.
It's
not like you don't do this for fame or to make people laugh on the podcast or to make fun of them. You did this purely to help people out.
That's it.
Just a good guy.
You know why? I used to love that show.
Good inside.
Love Connection.
Love Connections?
Love Connection.
Are you, what's his name?
Chuck Woolery. Yeah, Chuck Woolery, right? Someone like that?
Something like that.
Right, I'm close.
You know what? Is your tongue.
He used to go to the same library.
Is your tongue slightly paralyzed?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize it's something with your tongue.
I think you're right.
I think cannabis does that.
It just gets a little lazy.
Yeah, you have trouble.
Lazy.
You have trouble, like, moving it.
Katrina wouldn't say it's lazy. All right, honey.
No.
Get the motherfucking bird
hey,
out.
Hey, hold on a second.
Tell the people.
We haven't even
tell the
about
people
this.
Why your beard looks so luxurious.
Oh my God.
It's
out.
We have a new sponsor, Big Top Beard Company.
Very excited about these guys.
You know why we're excited about them? Because their shit is natural. It's all natural and it's fucking beautiful. I put it on my beard and my girlfriend just sticks to my face.
I'm so excited. Like, I'm growing my beard again finally, and like my wife is so like on board with this.
Is she for reals?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been training it.
You've been
too,
having more sex lately, haven't you?
You bet your ass. I mean, it's been on like Donkey Kong.
It works.
Yeah.
And it there's like a manliness factor to it. And right? This is a good gift for all you ladies to get your men.
Yeah, it's true.
Because this is like, you don't like how his beard gets all scraggly and wiry and sticking out. That's what the whole beard
gets
oil.
Gets rid of the pube factor.
And the wax is for. So
it smells good. It's natural. It's all natural. And it gives you a nice, it makes the beard look healthy.
Now we take that wax and we train those hairs to go where you want them to go.
So check this out. I read this a while ago. I wanted to know why, like, what is the theory behind why men grow beards and why most women don't? I said most because I'm Italian. I've seen women with beards. And so they said the reason why men grow
Coney
beards,
Island.
There's a couple reasons that they think, that anthropologists think, we evolved to grow beards. Number one is to soften the blow from battle. So, and if you think about it, if you got a big old beard, number one, it makes it harder for someone to judge where your chin is. And number two, it may soften the blow from getting hit, right? Because men, of course, that's what we do, right? We fight each other because we're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
But here's the second main reason. A big, big, healthy beard is kind of like the feathers of a peacock. It demonstrates good health.
I see.
So if you have a big, big, luxurious, healthy beard, it means you're healthy.
Yeah.
It means you don't have like crazy, like, you know, skin problems or health problems. You don't have mites. You don't have lice or anything like that. It demonstrates that you have testosterone and that you're healthy. And this is why women are so attracted to a healthy beard. And studies will show a big beard, men with good, healthy beards, are perceived as better leaders and more assertive. It's a fact. Look it up.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow.
Now we can bring on the big top beard, Bird.
Step right up, all you bearded men and all you bearded ladies. This quad is brought to you by Big Top Beard Company, whose all-natural beard oil products not only make your beard smell amazing, but feel amazing, too. Their organic essential oil blends transport you to manly places like the mountains, the desert, the sea, and beyond, all while encouraging a lot of beard nuzzling to boot. Buy it for yourself or as a gift for that special bearded someone at BigTopBeardCompany.com. Enter the discount code MINDPUMP for 33% off at checkout.
Our first question is from Kelsey Coaster. Is lifting enough cardio for health? I'm a power lifter.
Fuck yeah.
Hold on a second.
Fuck yeah.
Hold on a second. I'm just picturing like the stereotypical power lifter. Like just a fucking, a big fat, strong person.
The truth, you know what? If you want the answer, you should have watched my Insta story like 3 days ago, like, because I was going up that fucking Mission Peak like a power lifter. Yeah, no, you know, this is a really good question because when I first take somebody on, I actually eliminate all cardio. I don't care how old, how young. I actually tell people I want them to like limit their movement when I first get them. That sounds crazy, right? Like the opposite. You hire a trainer and you think your trainer's going to kick your ass. I'm like, hey, guess what? Sit on the couch more while you're with me. But really what I want to do is I want to find out kind of where their
normal NEAT is, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I want to know where their BMR and their calorie maintenance level is at if they were not doing a ton of activity. That way we can kind of use cardio as a tool to counter extra calories or lean them out if they want to lean out or potentially help them bulk. So we need to find this good baseline. So at first I tell everybody not to do cardio for this reason. Now, cardio has other benefits than just losing or gaining weight too, though. So it's exercise for your heart. That's the definition of it.
Here's what people need to realize is that there is exercise for health and longevity, and then there's exercise for performance. And this is true for all forms of exercise, even lifting weights. So if I'm going to lift weights purely for longevity and health, I'm going to be focused solely on movement, stability, and mobility. Right. If I push myself to get stronger and stronger and stronger and hit PRs and to build lots of muscle, I am now moving past health and longevity. I'm aiming for performance, and I may, in fact, take away from longevity and health. So a power lifter for example, is no longer training for with weights. They're no longer training with weights for health. They're training for maximum performance,
right,
which is going to take away from longevity because, again, you're maxing your body out. You're going to put more wear and tear on your body. Mm-hmm. You're going to stress your body out a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying understand that. Now with cardio, the same is true.
Right.
You can do cardio for health and longevity, or you can do cardio for performance and endurance.
There's many forms of cardio. I mean, you guys mentioned NEAT and you mentioned like long-term cardio. There's just many different forms, even lifting weights, you know, just like adding and increasing the amount of volume, increasing the amount of reps. You're going to get
shortening your rest,
cardiovascular elements in there.
Like I dare you to do a set of 25 reps with barbell squats and not
right.
realize the cardio benefits from that.
So, I mean, it's all in like your lifestyle. Like what do you want to promote the most for your lifestyle? Are you going to want to have the ability to get up and run, you know, a far distance, or, you know, are you just want to benefit your strength and longevity? Like these are all different approaches that you have to kind of like organize your workouts accordingly mm-hmm. to benefit the most.
Yeah, maximal longevity and health is really about frequent, moderate activity.
Yeah,
That's it. That's what the science says. The science does not say endurance athletes, bodybuilders, powerlifters, strength athletes, you know, or athletes in general are the ones that live the longest. It's just not. Now, why do we promote training harder for better performance? Because we also believe that it's not just about longevity and health. It's also about enjoying your life. There's also that component, which is why I'll eat cake sometimes and why I'll eat a burger sometimes because there are more things that I get out of food aside from longevity and health. And sometimes it's enjoying the moment with friends and family and enjoying just the taste of the food. So, and the same is true with exercise. So if you're doing it for health, do you need to do cardio? No. I mean, as long as you're walking and you're staying active and you're not just lifting weights, I think you're absolutely fine. If you want to do cardio for health, I mean, walk. Really, yeah. Nothing beats it.
Well,
nothing beats walking.
I think even that, but there's also an element of just more movement. So more movement throughout the day. So we talk about NEAT, but think about how many things you could do to benefit your joints, to benefit like inactive muscles. There's just a cascade of exercises in different mobility and different like types of flexibility and all these different pursuits that you could incorporate that adds up to a lot more activity and movement throughout your day that's going to have the same benefit, if not more benefit, because now you know you're a little bit more supported and you're more mobile.
Do you know what the bodies of extreme endurance athletes on the inside, what they look like when they get examined? They look not good. There's lots of oxidative stress. The age of their heart appears to be much older than the person's actual chronological age because of the damage that they create with the oxidative stress because of the extreme nature of their sport. Anything you do to an extreme level is going to have health detriments. So just keep that in mind. So again, if you're a power lifter and you're training for maximum performance and you're thinking about your health, just improve your NEAT and walk around. If you want to improve your powerlifting, cardio may help you a little bit as well. Not a lot of it, but I do think a little bit of cardio will help you just with improved mobility and improved cardiovascular
health. Well, what would you recommend with that? I'd probably do more HIIT type style if you were trying to improve that.
Yeah, I would do like one.
You don't want long bouts of cardio.
No, I do one HIIT session a week maybe, and then maybe like 30-minute walks every single day just to, you know, keep them moving and keep them healthy. Powerlifters tend to, and this is the stereotype, of course, but they tend to eat a lot of food. They tend to reduce activity. They tend to have, you know, mobility and joint issues because of the constant nature of their pushing. We just had a guest, you know, like, for example, when we interviewed Lane Norton, who's been training as a powerlifter for a long time, lots of mobility issues and lots of stability issues because he's been so focused on, you know, his pursuit of extreme lifting.
Did he admit that, though?
He did. He talked about that on our podcast and how he's focusing more on mobility.
He's a physical therapist that's kind of guiding
him. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and because it's the nature of it's the nature of the beast, right? It's the nature of the sport. So
You're pressuring the hinges.
Exactly. Next question.
Healthy, happy, and free. How do you guys get out of a funk?
Oh,
funky.
So why would you want to get out of being funky?
Yeah.
Boom.
Tell us, Sal.
How do I get out of a funk? Well,
it'll funk you up.
You know, it's interesting. I watched that video. What's her name? Mel Robbins. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
The one that she was on the... She had
Tom
a
Bilyeu.
Yeah, she was on Tom Bilyeu's show, Impact Theory. Great interview.
Sister of Tony Robbins?
No. And she also had a really good... TED Talk.
Relationship there.
And there was some cool stuff that she said that was a little mind-blowing. One of the things that she talked about was how we tend to wait until we get the motivation to do things. Like... God, I just need to get motivated to exercise, or I just need to get motivated to, you know, write that blog or do that, that extra education for my work or do that extra step to build my business. And she said that it's bullshit. She said waiting for motivation is a horrible, horrible strategy because for the most part, you're never going to get it. They're not going to get this, you know, instance of boom. Oh my God, I'm so motivated. Now I want to do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that rarely ever happens. And number two, when it does happen, what do you do when that stroke of motivation goes away? Because at some point it does. If you're relying on doing something or moving your butt or, you know, achieving things based on being motivated, at some point that motivation is going to wax and wane. And then what? Now that you've based all of your activity and you know, go get them attitude on motivation, now that that's gone, you're back in your funk and you're doing nothing again. And so she said, don't wait for motivation. It's bullshit. Just do it. Just go out and make yourself do it. And she has a strategy that she calls the 5-second rule, which is really interesting. And I recommend watching, you know, her YouTube videos to learn more about it. But for me recently, this has been kind of a game changer. Because I'm trying to, in my personal life, I'm trying to organize things on a completely different level than I've ever had to organize them, because now I have this dual custody thing with my kids and they've, you know, in both households, and now I'm managing school schedules and, you know, when they're off of school and managing a business at the same time. And in the past, those were things that, you know, at the time my wife did all that stuff, and now I have to do a lot of myself.
Just out of curiosity,
it's just overwhelming.
Can I ask you while you're right there? Do you feel more compassion or less compassion, or has it not changed your state at all with knowing that you have to take this on now? That was something that you didn't really worry as much about.
What do you mean compassion for what?
For your ex.
Because we had a system. So do I definitely appreciate? I definitely appreciate what she did much more.
Yeah, that's what, that's what I was just curious.
Yeah, but you know, it's just.
Because I know she hasn't been the easiest to handle all the time.
Well, like, no, I mean, we can't. I mean, obviously, whenever you go through that process, I'm not easy either, right?
Yeah,
both of us are going to be difficult.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, when you look at, I think, okay, so if you look at working out, right? Like, oh, I got to get motivated to exercise. The steps are pretty simple. Get up, move, and start just paying attention to your food. It's kind of simple, right? Mm. But it's so fucking hard to take those steps. And really, it's because we just don't take those steps. And the same thing for me, like getting organized with her schedules and stuff. All it took for me to do was get a calendar, meet with her, write things out, plan things out. This is what we do at this time. And that's all it took. But it was so hard to fucking do it because I was waiting for the motivation, which never came. And it felt like I was in a funk.
Yeah.
And the reality is, all I had to do was say, is realize I'm never going to get motivated. So I just got to do it. Once I started doing it, it was easy. And then the irony of it is I got out of the funk.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know exactly how that translates, but for me, that's worked really well.
First step, I mean, getting in a funk, like just acknowledging your state that you're in a funk. Like for me, like I know, because I'll get feedback from my wife or, you know, from my kids that I pick up on, and I can see how it's affecting everybody around me. So I guess my gauge a lot of times is how that's projecting, you know, how everybody is responding to me. I realize, oh shit, you know, I'm in a state that I need to change. And so like just to pick up on that is tough a lot of times, because you're focused on certain things. You're focused on certain goals or things around you, but you don't realize like you're energy and your mood is affecting everybody around you, and you're literally in a funk that you need to dig out of, and you need to address it and separate yourself from it, and then rewire, you know, the way that you're thinking about everything in front of you. And maybe it's stepping out. Maybe it's taking some time off, some reflection, some meditation. For me, it's time. It's space. It's creating more space for myself to think and reflect on what I'm presenting and the energy I'm bringing into the table. And then after that, it's like I can work towards, you know, having a different approach.
Yeah. I think I have levels of funk, and based off the levels of funk, would dictate what I do. So if I'm in just like a little funk, and what could cause a little funk is, you know, work stress. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, whatever. It's been a rough week, just a lot of busy, and, you know, maybe money isn't flowing the way it was flowing the week before, whatever. Like, if I got like a work funk and it's just like one aspect of my life, I feel like I'm in a funk, then what I do is I try not to dwell on that one thing that's causing, and I kind of shift my energy into other things that make me happy and that I enjoy doing, like for working out or doing stuff with my partner or, you know, doing something related to sports, or there's a lot of things I like to do, reading, like all these other things that I enjoy that give joy to my life. And because I have one aspect that is creating funk in my life, I'm not going to allow it to bleed into the rest. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm almost going to just like almost ignore it. Like, you know what? Like, this is a mental thing. I'm allowing this to put me in a funk. It's an uncontrollable situation. There's something that I can no longer do about it. All I can do now is do a better stuff going forward. So instead of dwelling on it and being in a funk, I'm going to shift my mind over into things that I enjoy or that I'm really good at. Right. Yeah. So I used to tell clients like this, like when your home life is, you know, a wreck or like that, well then put some good energy into your work, man. Like put your energy into your craft or, you know, hey, put some good energy into, you know, growing yourself and growth and working out and bettering yourself. So I shift my energy into other places that make my life more whole or better and not allow that one aspect. Now, sometimes the funk is so bad, everything's funky. You know what I'm saying? Like there's business is funky, relationships funky, your money's funky, you feel fat, you feel funky, like everything's funky.
Fat and funky.
If I feel like overwhelmed with the funk, like that's when it's
you just got defunct.
It's time to get the funk out of town.
Get the funk. That's the funk out of here.
That's what I do. So yeah, literally
get overwhelmed with the funk.
Yeah. So literally this is
that shit'll funk you up.
This is literally what I do is and what I have an amazing partner. So Katrina is incredible. She normally senses when I get this funky. And she'll say, "Listen, let's get out of here." And a lot of times, we've been together.
Start getting jazzy.
We've been together for 6 years, so I don't have to like. She feels it; like she can sense it, and she knows that like all this stuff going on. She knows if I've been missing my workouts and got a lot of stress at work, and so she can see that coming. And then she'll just be like, "Oh, by the way, like we're flying to Cabo this weekend, or oh, we're taking off to Southern California, or oh, we're going up north to the mountains," or she'll have a trip just like, and it doesn't have to be an elaborate, crazy thing. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's just to get out of town and disconnect from all the stuff that's here that is causing me to feel funky. So I find
What do you guys do? What are some hallmark characteristics that you could identify in yourselves that happen when you're in that
funk?
That funk, yeah. Like, what are things you tend to do?
I'm short with people.
So you get more irritable.
Yeah, I'm definitely short with people because I feel like I take others' feelings into consideration a lot when I speak to people, and I feel like I'm always I can be a people pleaser sometimes. And then when I get in a funk, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to say what's on my mind. It probably and may offend people or it may sting a little. And it's like, I'm just irritable and I don't care. I'm going to speak my mind. Who cares how it comes out? And
well, that's whatever created the funk is what consumes me. You know, it just becomes this like this horse blinder effect where like I can't even hear you. You know, like if you're talking to me, I can't hear you because I'm so obsessed in thinking about why this is, you know, causing me this state. And so that's why I have to communicate it. And I have to tell people around me, look, you know, like this is what happened or whatever it is. And like once I identify it, it's like, okay, I'm working through this. And I have to tell people around me I'm working through this because I'm so fucking like focused on it.
See, for me, like there's a couple things that I notice. One of them is, and I started to put words to it because it was hard for me to explain And I've had a lot of practice the last few years dealing with a funk. I've been in a fucking long-term funk for a little while now. And one of the things is I start to understand that the way you view things in your life is you're looking through a filter of some sort. And imagine you have sunglasses on or glasses on. And on those glasses, there's a knob that you could switch to positive filter, negative filter, sad filter, you know, whatever. And when I'm in my funk, I notice that filter becomes negative. So anything, even things that don't have to do with the funk, I tend to view in more of a negative way. Like, you know, I'm at the store and this lady, you know, went in front of me in her shopping cart and I'm just looking at her in a more negative way. Or, you know, the way somebody said something to me, you know, normally I wouldn't take it personal or I wouldn't let it bother me, but now it's bothering me. And it just becomes this filter that I see things through. And if I can, and this is the hard part, it's hard to identify. It's hard to say like, oh shit, I'm seeing things through this fucking shitty filter. Once I do it, it makes a big difference because then I can, you know, because then I can see things a little bit differently. And then the second thing is that I get stuck a lot. Like I'll get stuck on social media or I'll get stuck reading something, or it's almost like I'll get frozen in inactivity or inaction. I'm busy, I'm doing stuff, but I'm not actually doing things that are productive or helping me. It's like I'm in this kind of cycle. And I was watching this video where, I don't remember who it was, but they were talking about the difference between stress, like normal stress, and suffering. And they were saying how, you know, stress is a motivator. So something will happen, a light will go off, and you'll say, okay, I need to do something about this particular stressful situation. Suffering is constantly cycling that thought in your mind over and over and over and over again, even though it's not benefiting you. And so now you're suffering. You're just constantly suffering about this particular thing. For example, I'll use an easy example. If I have a presentation tomorrow in front of 1,000 people, I'm going to get a little bit stressed about it, right? And that's a motivator. Like, okay, it's going to help me prepare because I'm stressed. Okay, I got to get ready. I got to review all my what I'm going to talk about. I want to make sure I do a good presentation. But if I constantly think about the fact that I may bomb or it may be terrible or I'm going to be nervous on stage, and I cycle that over and over and over, now I'm stressing and it's not serving me. And so learning how to separate that is, wow, that's a very powerful tool. Like, am I stressing because it's helping me do something that's productive, or am I just suffering now? Am I letting myself suffer, or am I allowing myself to suffer? And suffering, nobody should suffer. It just doesn't benefit anybody. So just a couple things that I've been reading about that I think have helped quite a bit.
Next up, Comic Fitness. Is Maps White only for when you don't have access to a gym?
No,
not at all. You know, we should
just stand alone. You know, when we first did it, mm-hmm. we really were trying to counter all the shitty, you know, at home programs that were right. out there
in our own fashion, how we would structure that in a more beneficial way.
Yeah, we actually said, okay, we talked shit about all these at-home programs. Well, what will we do about it?
What would we do different?
If I was going to train somebody who never went to the gym, they just wanted to work out at home, like, what would I do? Well, that was the main reason. But, I mean, you could take that. Like, I actually just went through a little stint where I was just running. I was in a gym doing Maps Wide. So you don't have to be at home. It doesn't have to be a non-access. It's a body weight. That's what it's designed. It's designed to be a body weight.
So it's Maps Anywhere is the actual name. The color is white. That's why we refer to it white, just so people know. But the comments that we get for all of our programs, the one that I'm most proud of is Maps Anywhere because it is because that and Maps Performance, but because those are the ones that we get the most comments from trainers on. Hmm. Like I've gotten a lot of comments from personal trainers.
I would say Prime.
Really? Oh, well, yeah, I guess you're right, because that's really, I guess before Prime, right? Because Prime is so different.
That's out of the box.
Yeah, that's out of the box. But this is just like exercise programming.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of trainers tell us, like, I've never seen a no equipment program programmed so well. And I do want to touch on the benefit of closed chain kinetic movements. So open chain movements are when you're moving the weight, you know, the weight that you're moving is free. So like I'm doing a bench press, right? So my hands are moving away from my body. And a closed chain movement is my hands are fixed or my feet are fixed, and it's my body that's moving. So like a push-up versus a bench press. And they both have their benefits. And if you don't do either one, you're missing out a lot. Mm-hmm. And so MAPS Anywhere, really the benefit of it is if you're a hardcore, super consistent fitness enthusiast who's been working out in a gym for a long time, you'll get blown away by going through a cycle of MAPS Anywhere. You'll get blown away by when you go back to lifting your weights. You will feel a different connection to the weights.
It's the connection factor, right? It's that fact that now, like, your body, it goes through this process. And we added tension exercises, and we added ways to amplify this response that, you know, makes it more challenging even. And there's elements in there that we threw that were addressing posture. And so if you can't hold your body in these specific positions, it really gets exposed. And so all these things, like, we kind of added in. Now step away from the weights. Like, what does your body look like as far as the movement and what kind of response you can get from your body without, you know, relying on the weight to provide that stimulus?
Well, wouldn't you guys say that a lot of that is what's required of the central nervous system? Because you can cheat a lot of that on a machine, right? I can see if I sit down on a machine and I do like a chest press machine or whatever, I can relax.
It eliminates a lot of momentum.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
And when you're, you know, so we'll use chest press because that's what I started with here, right? So I'm sitting down on a machine and I'm doing a chest press. I could have my legs all sprawled out. I could be slouching in there and I could be chest pressing away and working. Well, when you do a body weight exercise to emulate a chest press, that would be like a push-up. And when you do a push-up, your hands, your toes, everything's connected. Like your pelvic, your core, like everything's having to stabilize. Like, it requires a huge amount of attention from your central nervous system to have all these muscles firing, stabilizing, and working together to perform the same type of a movement to get chest to work, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's so mind-blowing for a lot of people, because if you have a gym membership, let's be honest with ourselves, a lot of the exercises we're probably doing are sitting down on a bench and doing exercises or sitting in a machine and doing that.
You're isolating certain areas, you know, whereas you go through this program, now there's a like massive carryover because now you've lit up all kinds of new ways to stabilize, support your body going into that same exercise where you may be laying down or sitting down.
It's a totally different skill. It's a completely different skill. And like we've talked about many times on the podcast, training new skills for the body results in better adaptations. I mean, if you get really good at doing lat pull downs, go do some pull ups and watch what happens. I mean, you get really good at overhead press, get really good at handstand push ups where you're upside down, you're pressing your body up in the air. The functionality of being able to manipulate your body in space is incredible. I mean, if you can get really good at body weight movements, you will build a shit ton of muscle, by the way. There's a myth that you build, they're not as good of muscle builders, which I think is false. In fact, I think you can build a tremendous amount of muscle without any weights whatsoever. You can also build a tremendous amount of muscle without ever doing body weight exercises. But the most amount of muscle, the most functional movement that you'll ever get is when you're able to combine the two.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things where, again, people get in their camps. You know, you've got the guys and girls who are super body weight oriented with rings and pull-up bars and, you know, all this body weight stuff and gymnastic type exercises. And then you've got the guys and girls that do all the lifts, you know, lift all the weights and deadlifts and overhead presses and dumbbells and barbells. And for some reason, it's like, my way's better. No, my way's better. And it's like, whoa, you guys, like, fucking, you can both.
There's benefits to both and even more benefit when you combine them.
When you combine them, you get incredible results. And so the ideal way that I would recommend people use MAPS Anywhere is as a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best bridge program that's out there. So if you're doing MAPS Anabolic or MAPS Aesthetic or your own program and you want to bridge to a new program, let's say you want to go from, you know, one type of body part split to a completely different type of adaptation. Maybe it's more strength training, a 5x5 or one of our MAPS programs. In between two, try MAPS Anywhere. And MAPS Anywhere, the cool thing about it too, it's just it's a relatively short cycle, right? How long was the total cycle? I believe it was two 2-week phases, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think
so. You're looking at 1 month a one-month bridge. So I challenge you to do this. If you're working out at a gym and you've been working out very consistently, don't even change your routine. In fact, this is what you do. For 1 month, for 4 weeks, do MAPS Anywhere. Go back to your old routine and see how you feel. Watch what happens.
Well, this is also, I want to remind people while you're talking about this right now. Just recently, Doug has now, so we've been doing this 30-day of coaching that, you know, you sign up for. It's free. You can get it right on the website. And every day you get dripped a single topic. Well, you know, one of the things that we just went back and did is, even though it's designed to kind of educate you over 30 days, now you'll have complete access to all 30 days immediately when you first sign up for this. And what's really beneficial about that is now you're going to get this glossary and you'll have all these topics. So maybe you feel like you're well-versed in protein, carbs, or fats, but then when you get into mobility or you get into body weight exercises or you get into central nervous system, which we talk about all these things, and you'll be able to highlight and click right on that and go like, oh, I want to learn more about that. And then within that will be all the videos or podcast episodes where we've talked specifically about that in detail. So if you're not signed up for that, it's completely free. You just go to the website, mindpumpmedia.com, and then there'll be a pop-up.
You just opt in.
Yeah, you opt right in, name, email, and then you guys will get all that information. It's completely free, so make sure you guys take advantage of that.
Fitness at large. How should someone who's on gear change their workout?
Yeah.
Gear.
You know, this
gear,
is
a, explain what gear is because a lot of people don't know what gear is.
Yeah.
It's kind
gear,
of
a steroids. Okay. Someone who's taking anabolic steroids, how should they change their workouts?
Just like a shreds bag.
So here's the thing with anabolic steroids. Do they work? Yes. Do they change your body on such a fundamental level that now you need to do completely different workouts? No.
No.
The same rules apply. The difference is, you now can do more. You could just do more. More it's workouts, like, more weight, more.
It's like playing bowling with the bumper things.
Yeah.
It's like bowling with the bumper things. It's still bowling.
Yeah. Still, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you throw a strike,
you're more
likely
to hit pins.
Yeah, but you just, you know, you can get away with some shit.
You get away with a lot more. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot more.
What are those called? Bumper rails? Is that what it's called?
Bumper
Taylor?
Rails?
Yeah. Taylor. Bumper rails? God, he doesn't even listen to us.
He doesn't care. He doesn't
fuck
care.
You in, what do you fuck you in here for?
He's doing something else.
Yeah, it's bumper, like bumper rails, right?
Dude, don't pick on T-Dog. Yeah, you know,
he's feisty.
You get a lot, you get away with a lot more. So this is why we always recommend, if you plan on taking anabolic steroids, one of the best things you could do, and if your goal is, obviously, if you're getting on steroids, you want to build maximum muscle. Here's the best thing you could do. Perfect your routine on your natural body.
Yes.
Then take anabolics.
Yes, yes,
and then watch what happens. Yeah.
This is what I tell you what, when I did the whole competing thing and then I was doing online coaching, of course I'm going to attract a lot of high-level competitors or guys that want to be high-level competitors. And the first thing they all ask is, what's
the dose?
What testosterone do I take? How much? All this stuff. And every one of them, I tell all of them, listen, like, one thing I will do is I'll answer whatever questions you have about that. First of all, I'm not a doctor, so I'm telling you that. Get your blood work done. That's important. But if you have not taken the time to train yourself and get yourself in the best shape of your life without it first, don't do that. Don't do that.
It's just going to hide your shitty diet and routine, man.
Not only that, but it's also setting yourself up with a very bad connection with the steroids. And that, like, if I'm like, I'm all a fan for you doing whatever you want to do to your body, for sure. Like, I think everybody should have, I don't think it should be illegal. That's my opinion. So I think if you want to try it and you want to do it, then do it. But I think that you should do your due diligence first. I think that you should go through the process of learning how to get yourself in shape completely natural. That way, when you introduce something synthetic, you can actually see how much of that it's helping you. Otherwise, if you decide you're going to go in this hardcore training routine and you're going to go on this diet that so-and-so gave you and you're going to take this steroid cycle that someone gave you, and then it's like, okay, well, which one of those is really doing most of the change in your body? And you won't really know how to tweak each one of them individually to get more. So you first figure that out naturally. And then when you add the dose of testosterone is just going to take it all to the next level. It's like otherwise, like Sal was saying, you can get away with so much. You could have really shit programming, getting pretty decent results because you're on testosterone, because you don't have to pay attention to recovery time. You don't have to do all the best exercises. You could just stimulate, but you're going to see strength gains going up just because you're lifting weights and you're on testosterone, you know, but you won't know if that's because you got good programming.
You know, here's one piece of advice I'll give you when if you're on gear is don't be careful with this. You don't get addicted to the pump in the gym. And let me explain why I say that. When you're on anabolics and you lift weights in the gym, you will have the most amazing pumps you've ever had in your life. Like, and they're addicting. Like, you'll work out, you'll lift, and doesn't matter what you do, you're going to get a silly skin tight pump, and it's going to feel amazing, and it's going to skew your understanding of the effectiveness of your workout to the point where you'll get addicted to that feeling, and then you'll go in the gym, and then your goal is just to get the best pump possible. And then you waste a lot of time on machine exercises and cable exercises and squeezing as much blood as possible in the muscle. And now, don't get me wrong, the pump does have a role in building muscle, but if you get stuck there, you'll plateau in a big way. And I see a lot of juice heads stuck in this process where you see them in the gym and they're big, you know, they're muscular, but they don't change. Their bodies don't change. And you watch their workouts and it consists of a lot of these pumping type movements where they'll get the cable and they'll squeeze one side for the cable crossover and they'll do the sideways hammer strength and they'll, it's all about getting this fucking amazing pump. But it's just, it's a, be careful because that signal
that
you're getting on gear isn't necessarily.
I'm glad you went this way. So I don't know if I shared this on the podcast or not, but I was somebody who chased the pump like crazy. I'm also somebody who's taken plenty of testosterone. And when I was doing that, one of the things that used to always frustrate me was, God, I felt so amazing when I was in the gym. When I was all pumped up, you know, I literally looked like I tripled in size. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Like, I was night and day difference when I was, remember too, I'm tall, long, lanky, have big muscle bellies, but I was like chasing the pump so much. And I was so adapted to that, that I would get this massive pump, but then I would deflate afterwards. And it really pissed me off. Until I broke that cycle, I didn't realize how important it was to be out of that. And what I mean by that is when I started strength training more and the heavy singles and doubles and like training where I didn't feel all pumped up afterwards, I built way more muscle. And in return, now I walk around with, there's less of a difference between my pump and how I am now. I've literally now, because I've built so much strength and built so much more muscle through lifting heavy weight and singles and not worrying about the pump so much, but that was a very hard thing for me to break.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been chasing the pump,
it's fucking addicting, man.
Well, it is.
Especially when you're on anabolics.
Well, and it creates a new relationship, right? Because you get these, when you do so many reps and you're pump, like you've done 5-6 sets of this and that's all you're chasing, you get sore afterwards, you have this massive blood rush in the muscles, you look awesome because you're all filled up. So you tend to chase that all the time. Well, like anything else we talk about, you do that for 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. You've been doing that for the last 6 months, training this way. Your returns are diminishing, less and less and less and less strength and muscle gains from that. All you're doing is just pumping up all these muscles.
And what's the first step that people take when that starts to happen?
Add more testosterone.
And then they get a little bit bigger and they get a little bit more of a pump. And this is why you see these physique competitors who, you're not that big. Physique competitors are not that big. And they're taking grams of testosterone a week.
Ridiculous.
Like, silly amount. More than Arnold used to take. Ridiculous. Way more than the guys in the 70s used to take.
When I went into the show where it was my second show, I placed worse than my first show. And then they told me I was too shredded the first show. So then I thought, okay, well, I can get bigger on this next show because I'm like too lean, right? So I added more testosterone and I went up to 400 milligrams of testosterone. And
let me ask you this, if you don't mind going into that, because I know there's a lot of people who compete who really want to hear these details. Was that the highest dose that you had taken?
Yeah.
When you competed.
Yeah.
When you were younger, you did that.
Oh, yeah. When I was younger, I did way more.
Stupid shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what fucked up my testosterone.
Yeah, so you did 400 milligrams of testosterone.
Yeah, so...
Competitors right now are listening, you're like, that's it?
Well, let's put it into perspective. That actually, to me, I think is even really... Because I'm on TRT, so like every 2 weeks right now, I do 150 milligrams of testosterone. That keeps me like normal.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps me like a 600 to 1,000, you know, free test. Like,
yeah.
So at 150 every 2 weeks. So then when I was competing, I bumped that up to 250 milligrams in a week. Mm-hmm. And then when I had that after that first show, I thought, okay, I can add more so I could be bigger, right? And then I went up to 400. When I went up to 400, the judges were like, whoa, we were just way too big for this. So I had to pull back. But the point I'm trying to make is that this whole time I'm going through our programs, right? I'm programming, I'm training that. So I'm getting every 3 months, and every time I'm jumping in a new show, I'm putting size and muscle mass on. And it wasn't because I kept increasing the doses. It was because I was
because doing, you had good programming.
Yeah, good programming, good diet, everything else, good training, everything going along with it. And, you know, so I had to go scale back. So then after that, I never, even when I got to the professional level, I never had to go over 350 milligrams of testosterone to reach this level of size. And if anything, I had to be more careful on how much it took from getting too big. So a lot of these guys in the men's physique world, they keep pumping more testosterone to try and reach this size of a pro. And it's like, dude, I'll tell you right now, I have poor genetics. I do not have bodybuilder genetics. Those that see me right now, you see what my body wants to look like. This is a very normal look for me, like this lean basketball player look. Like, that's my body type. It takes a lot of work and effort for me to put the mass on. So the amount of testosterone that I needed to assist that is not very much whatsoever. So right away, if you're a men's physique guy, and I'll tell you, even if you think you have shit genetics, like I know for sure I do, if you're doing 500 milligrams of testosterone more, you're way more than
way
you need
more. And
you
people,
need to address the other issues.
And people don't realize that they actually start to saturate their receptor sites and downregulate them. So you'll see these guys who are on grams of gear and aren't getting anything out of it anymore.
Yeah.
And then you'll see other guys who'll go off, go back on, and it's like, boom, oh my God, I'm responding a lot to these steroids again. People don't realize, like, there's definitely a science to using anabolics, but do not disregard your programming, because in the hierarchy of things that are important, exercise programming is above anabolic steroids.
Way above. I think it's why I'm so passionate about this and what we do, because it's not because I'm sitting over here judging others at all. It's, fuck, man, I did it. You know, I went through that. Like, I was the same way too. And I thought that, oh, I needed to take more and more and more of this. And that's what got me in trouble with now my testosterone shit. Now I have testosterone of a fucking 60-year-old, because as a 20-year-old, I was taking this gear thinking that that was going to.
The funny thing too is you took, when you were younger, when you killed your natural testosterone, you took way higher doses. Whoa. And you didn't even come close to the size and muscularity that you had, you know, recently with way, way lower doses.
Oh, way less and way more. But that was because it took years and years of me piecing that together.
To understand that.
Yeah, holy shit, there's more to
this. Do you think the gear, when you were doing this as a kid, you think it slowed down your learning process when it came to programming?
Oh, absolutely. Because even then, as a young kid, the reason why I would come on and off all the time was because, and that's why I say the things that I say is not because I'm fucking some outsider looking in. I fucking went through all this. Like, you think you start to connect the, like, because, okay, if you're somebody who has okay programming. So remember, I'm a trainer, so I think I got good programming. So let's just say you're an average Jane or Joe, or maybe you're even a trainer, and you think you're pretty good at programming. You know pretty much about nutrition. You know where your protein intake needs to be. So you think you know a lot about all that stuff. And then you slap gear on there, and then you get to a size you've never been before. And then you come off, and then you shrink back down. And then, so now you start to connect, like, oh man, if I ever want to look that way,
I have to be on this.
I got to be on gear. And then you're like, fuck, and you remember what it feels like to be on it. You fuck like a 20-year-old. You feel amazing. All your muscle bellies are filled up. You got veins in your dick. Like, you feel awesome, right? It's like you walk in, and like testosterone just bleeds off of you, and women come falling. It's just amazing. So you become very addicted.
We should sell testosterone.
Veiny.
Well, you become,
check the show notes.
you become addicted to that feeling, and then you connect that feeling, that level of size and everything, to the testosterone, when you'd be surprised how far you can get all naturally.
You'd be more than surprised. You'd be shocked if you just dialed in your fucking programming. I have a friend who I've known for a very long time, and he's been running gear since we were kids, on and off. And, you know, we were talking back and forth, and he's like, dude, he goes, my legs are fucking huge. And he showed me a picture, and his legs look ridiculous. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? Did you go on more gear? Like, what's going on? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm squatting 3 days a week, like you said. And it's like, just the simple like add frequency, and his legs have grown bigger.
Imagine that.
Than he's ever been. And Doug, when he came to me as a client, he was not an inexperienced lifter. In fact,
I would love to throw Doug on some testosterone.
No, dude, he would fucking out.
Can we do that?
He'd make us look silly.
We won't tell him. We'll just put it in his milk.
Adam's like that little horned devil guy that's on your right shoulder. Just do you know what I mean? And then
just sprinkle some testosterone. Doug came to me.
Hey man.
He was experienced. He'd followed the classic bodybuilder programming consistently. You guys know Doug, how meticulous he can be. Yeah. He did Body for Life. He did Body Parts.
Those are the best clients for all that
stuff. He did everything. Yeah. Everything. And he came to me and literally said to me, I have bad muscle building genetics. He said, I have poor muscle building genetics. Now, if you saw his before and after lifting with me for about a year and a half or 2 years, you would not fucking think that. And in fact, as a trainer who's trained thousands of people, I can tell you right now, Doug does not have terrible genetics for muscle building. He's got better than average muscle building genes, but he had no fucking idea because his programming was not ideal. And then all of a sudden, you know, at the age of, I think it was 48 or 49 when we took those after pictures, you know, six pack and all muscular and everything like that, it makes a huge difference. So, I mean, moral of the story is like learn how to really train your body first and eat right first.
Well, it's just,
go on gear and it's like magic.
It's just like the other day we had a Q&A and I kind of ranted on somebody who, you know, fell off of their diet when they're getting ready to compete. And I'm like, if you have a problem with binging and you can't stick to a diet, like you have no reason to compete.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't diet yourself down and get in the best shape of your life naturally, you have no business on gear. That's how I look at that. You should not be trying to drive a high performance vehicle when you're still learning how to drive the current one you're in right now. So master that, and then hey, if you fucking you're down to do something crazy like that, and you want to drive something that fast, then do it. But otherwise, you're just silly. You're never going to win the race.
Exactly.
That way.
Look, if you go to mindpumpmedia.com, you can opt in for free for our 30 days of coaching. There's a new topic every single day. And like Adam was saying, you now get all of it on day one. We know there's a lot of you guys who like to binge learn. Well, now you can do that. You opt in. We'll give you all 30 days right off the bat. And we're always adding to it. And in fact, talking about anabolic steroids, I'm wondering if we should add a topic or add that to the 30 days. You know, where we talk about
it's like
anabolics.
30 days and chill.
Yeah, and you know,
binge.
It's free. You get on there and you do it. Also, if you want to ask us a question that we answer on our Q&A episodes like this one, you go to our Instagram page. We post up a little meme there. That's where you ask your questions. You make sure to hashtag QUAH, and there's a good chance we'll answer your question on our show. Lastly, if you want good information on fitness or coupon codes or other cool stuff, you can follow our personal pages. Mine is Mind Pump Sal. Adam's is Mind Pump Adam. And Justin's is Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.